Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be talking with Maribel Steele, an Australian writer, motivational speaker, and peer advisor for the American Foundation for the Blind's Vision Aware program.
She also designed something she called Vision Quest, which was a program pairing blind and sighted people in a day of shared exploration to experience sights in their community. And we'll talk with her about that, as well as her role working with Vision Aware. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Maribel Steele.
One of my basic philosophies is a quote. The quote is, "When you have come to the edge of all light that you know and are about to drop off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly."
Nice quote. Do you know where that comes from?
And that comes from Patrick Overton, O-V-E-R-T-O-N. And to me, that just sums up the two options. It's like we shrink with fear or we expand with love. And I just think that if you just have the faith that you are going to be okay, that something will come to support you, or you will gain the skills that you need to really take off in life. I find those two scenarios are just beautiful. And it shows the spontaneity of letting go as well. You know, take flight, let go, be spontaneous, or be grounded and do practical things that'll get you to your goals.
I guess sometimes with all the uncertainties in life, it's sometimes difficult to proceed forward and you don't know where you're headed. But, you know, what she says is quite true. Really, what you have to do is just keep moving forward, take it on faith that you'll work things out, and usually when you approach some obstacles, you find some way of getting around them.
And I think blind people are especially good at that. They keep being faced with new physical challenges, new technology challenges, and having to work out how to get around those challenges and succeed. And so I think blind people have a better track record at being successful at new experiences.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Mystic Access, providing assistive technology audio tutorials and trainings designed to empower and motivate. Products are created by the blind for the blind. More information available at mysticaccess.com, where the magic is in learning.
Eat your vegetables, they say. They make you stronger every day. But don't they realize I want a pizza?
Well, that was not our usual breaker tune. That was a song that was written, performed, and produced by our guest Maribel Steele. So as sincere and serious and thoughtful as her tip was, you can see there's also a lighter side to her. So let's get on with the rest of the show and meet Maribel.
Okay, well, hi, my name is Maribel Steele, and I'm speaking to you from Melbourne in Australia. And I really want to thank you for having me on your show to talk about my work as a writer and as a speaker living with blindness.
And you yourself are visually impaired. Can you tell us a little bit about how that started and the state of your vision?
Yeah, I have retinitis pigmentosa, and that was diagnosed when I was 17. With my RP, I have one blind eye, and I have the left eye, which is my good eye, with a little bit of residual vision. So I use a CCTV, which is a magnifying device, and I'm also a JAWS user. So I use a screen reader. So that's how I function.
You were just a teenager when you were told you would go blind. How did you react to that news?
It was quite devastating news for my family, especially because suddenly they were given this diagnosis that their daughter was going to go blind one day. And it was a pretty difficult time. But I remember, as that 17-year-old, thinking that this just was not going to define me. I wasn't going to take that label of disability as who I was going to be. So I've always had that strong connection to, I don't know, believing in the possible, seeing something more than what, you know, losing sight was going to be about. So I've always kept a clear vision of seeing the possible. And so that led me through my life and has led me through my life. I've done a lot of things. I'm the mother of four sighted children. That's kept me quite busy. I've been an aromatherapist, so I've practiced as a massage therapist and loved my sensory career as an aromatherapist. I'm a singer. I work with my partner in his recording studio so that my acute sense of hearing really helps in the work that we do together. And the last 6 or so years, I've moved into becoming a writer and speaker as my profession. And what I love about this is that I really get to share from my story, encouraging others to tell their story. So I really feel it's important to see the worth in all of our stories. And this is what I love doing most.
We have many themes for shows on Eyes on Success. And one of them, frankly, is just hearing people tell their stories in the hopes that somebody else is undergoing a similar experience and they can get some ideas from somebody who's already been there about how to do things more successfully.
Exactly. It's like you can think you're going through something that's quite unusual or rare, and then when you hear someone else has got the same doubts and they're not feeling very confident and whatever the things that are going on, you go, wow, I just really love that someone else is feeling like this too. It does give you hope.
One, it certainly sounds like vision loss hasn't been a detriment to anything you've wanted to do. You've certainly gotten around and accomplished a lot.
Well, I must say, Peter, that it did take me a while to actually accept it. So even though I felt that I was, you know, accepting I wasn't going to be labeled as someone with a disability, it took me several years, many years, to be able to pick up a white cane. And that was the challenging part, sort of being able to come out to the world and say, yep, I am someone with this vision problem. Because I think I was scared of judgment. I was really afraid of the stigma that can be attached to picking up a white cane. What I have learned, though, by being courageous enough to do that training is that I call it my magic wand of power. And what I have learned that it opens up whole possibilities. It's like people let you get to the front of a queue and they put you on the plane first, and you know, I can do things and people just forgive me because they go, oh, okay, right, well, you've got a white cane, obviously you didn't see I was in the line first, but I'll let you go first.
I was reluctant to use a cane when I first needed to use a cane, although I should have been using one even when I had some minimal vision. But it really does open up doors, and particularly when we travel to new places, airplanes, museums, people are very friendly and accommodating. And also, you know, sometimes it's good just to let people know that you have a vision problem. When we're walking in crowds, people will get out of our way instead of being buffeted by people that aren't aware that someone has a vision problem.
That's right. And I wanted to say two things there. One, it was brought to my attention actually by a dear friend that said, look, if you don't use a white cane, you're actually not being very fair to us, the people in, you know, the sighted people, because we might be driving a car and you're standing at the curb and we don't know that you can't see and we just assume you can and you can create an accident. And I really had to take that on board, that I wasn't being fair to other people by hiding my inability to see. So what I've done is gone from not only using a white cane, but we've got a bike bell attached to my white cane so that when we're in very busy human traffic, I ring my little bell and it gets people out the way too.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
That's something my partner's done. Yeah.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is twofold. Maribel's role as a peer advisor with AFB's Vision Aware program and the Vision Quest experience that she conceived and coordinated.
So anyway, it sounds like, as we've said, you've accomplished a whole lot and gotten around in a whole lot of experiences, and maybe we can touch upon some of those today. We were first introduced, I guess, through
the Vision Aware program that the American Foundation for the Blind has, and you write for that occasionally, don't you? Can you tell us a little bit about what Vision Aware is and what your role in Vision Aware is?
Yeah, well, Vision Aware is a branch of the American Foundation for the Blind, and it's got a lot of resources on there for people who are either new to vision loss, want to gain daily skills. It's just an incredible website for lots of information. And I became a peer advisor about 2 years ago, where I write and contribute regularly. Actually, each month we have meetings on the phone with our program manager, and we talk about the coming month and what's coming up and what we might write for. And each of the peers contribute something from our life experience. We all have different eye conditions, and we're all at different stages of our vision loss, but we still contribute these articles to help others basically gain whatever information they need on that site. So, and I also started a feature called the International Agency of the Month, and that is where I reach out to organizations around the world and ask them if they'd like to be featured. And we do an international spotlight on different organizations helping people with blindness in their countries. So we've got a few of those up there on the site as well. And I love it because I really feel I've found my tribe. They're really like a wonderful group of people. And isn't it amazing? I'm in Australia, but yet the Vision Aware family for me is like my tribe. And I just love it how the internet has brought us this close.
So I think of the American Foundation for the Blind primarily being an organization that's active in the United States. But as you pointed out, Vision Aware has a worldwide interaction. I was wondering how you got involved with Vision Aware.
Well, basically, I had made contact with a lady who was a peer advisor, Audrey Demet, and I think we were just doing some Googling of each other, you know, in terms of LinkedIn and, you know what I mean, that sort of networking. And she said, why don't you be a peer? You'd be great. So I contacted the program manager and had a Skype interview, and they are always looking for more peers. So anybody listening here can also go online and, you know, talk to Pris Rogers about becoming a peer advisor. So if you've got something that you can share and write, then do go ahead and join us.
We did an entire episode of Eyes on Success a couple of years ago about Vision Aware and the programs and support that they offer to people, where we talked with Pris Rogers, and that was episode number 1410.
So the other activity of interest, which you started closer to home in Australia there, is called Vision Quest. Can you tell us what that is and how it got started?
Vision Quest is just was fantastic. Let me just say that, remembering it because it was a couple of months ago. I designed Vision Quest as part of a leadership course that I was doing in Melbourne. And one thing that we had to do was design some sort of community event that sort of brought together our passion and our leadership abilities for the good of our community. So I was thinking, okay, obviously mine's going to be something along the lines of, you know, raising awareness of vision loss, or how to give people, you know, more skills in dealing with people with vision loss, because often there's a lot of awkwardness that can happen with people who have never met a blind person before. And although I'm vision impaired, I still have some vision. I notice how there's a lot of awkward interactions. So I designed a fun daily challenge. It was like on this one day, and I called it Vision Quest, and I was going to bring together teams of people, which we did. We were able to interest a sighted community and my vision impaired community to set off in teams, and we had five teams. And we had a blind person, a sighted person, and a sighted coach. And the coaches I had briefed, so they knew what our course was going to be. And I designed, with my partner's help, who's sighted and also took video of the whole event, we started in a gallery museum and had people describing sculptures and learning how to walk with a person who, you know, who's vision impaired, and maybe how to ask them for things or how to guide them to a chair. And what happened was that it took about a couple of hours, where we walked from activity to activity that we'd planned, both indoors and outdoors, that culminated in a gorgeous sensory surprise at a place called Federation Bells. And this is where there's these beautiful 39 bells bells that ring for the City of Melbourne. It's quite a special feature. We led them all there. And what came out of it was friendship. The best thing that came out of the day was people have made lasting friendships from this connection. So I guess my, you know, initial goal was bringing sighted people to see through our eyes or through our shoes for a couple of hours. And we just gained so much more than what I had anticipated. So Vision Quest is like a fun walking challenge that I would love to have happening in other cities.
That sounds like a great and fun concept.
Yeah, it was designed as a prototype, and I'm happy to talk to anybody to help set it up in another city and find out the points of interest, do a bit of a, you know, walking trail challenge and see what happens.
Somebody filmed a video of the day. Can you describe the video and tell us where people could find it?
Right. Well, the video has a YouTube link, which I'll need to send you, but it was filmed by my partner, Harry Williamson, and it is available. You could see it on touchinglandscapes.com, which is my travel blog. And if you look for Vision Quest, you'll come across it there. It was also featured on Vision Aware, so you might find it there as well. But yes, Harry came with us and basically just ran around, you know, taking shots here and then run off and take shots there and put together a beautiful 10-minute YouTube clip that really captures the whole day.
So out of all the locations you went to, what were some of the highlights? What were some of the most exciting parts that people went to?
Well, interestingly enough, in the gallery, there was a section that had this incredible sound installation, and that's featured in the YouTube clip. And it was just immersed in these strange sounds, so you could just stand there and we would have the sighted people close their eyes to really get a sense of the sound installation. So that was one thing. We went out of the gallery to a little garden area in the middle of Melbourne. It's called the Pop-Up Patch, and there's like 50-odd big raised garden beds where the restaurants and some restaurants have their chefs growing, you know, organic herbs and vegetables. And they happen to have like a mini food festival that day. So, you know, we could go and grab little plates and we had a taste sensation as well. So that was a real highlight.
That's never bad, getting some nice food.
I know. That was good. And then the bells at the end. So, and meeting these people I'd never met before that traveled from the country. Some people traveled far and wide to come and take part.
I actually thought it was interesting seeing how the different people interacted with some of the abstract sculpture that you were interacting with.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that, you know, feel it, touch it, sense it, you know, describe it. The whole part of Vision Quest was that to show that it takes us a lot more energy in taking some things in. If you want to describe something, we need to really, you know, stop, think, feel, get a sense of it. Even watching our next step, you know, I know sighted people just cross a road. There's no thought to it. But we're really concentrating on the white cane or our guide dog, our foot, the curb, the bumpiness, all that. And we had some people try on some assimilation glasses as well, where they could experience an eye condition. And they found that really quite, confronting and interesting.
Yeah, that must have been an interesting experience for many of the sighted people, especially if they hadn't had experience around people with visual impairments.
Yeah, and I didn't feel that blindfolding the sighted person, I know people do this in training, but it wasn't really so much about blindfolding them as to letting them observe and be a part of us as we walked and did things and just sharing in a more open communication. Because I think one of the things that sighted people can be afraid of is how to correctly address a person who's got vision loss. They sort of like, how do I hold you? Do I grab you? Or can I walk on this side? Or, you know, so it was just about feeling comfortable, really.
Oh, that's really great.
Well, one of the things that I've observed, I've been hanging around with Pete for 33 years, so we...
Congratulations.
Yeah, we not infrequently run into new sighted people who've never been around a blind person before, and it is very common. They don't even know who to talk to.
It's very funny, isn't it?
And they certainly don't know what to say. You know, even like people Pete worked with for years, they'd never ask him a question about how do you do this, how do you do that. they'd sometimes corner me in the hall because we worked in the same building and say, how does Pete do such and such? But they'd never ask him anything about it.
And that's the interesting thing, because we do things, you know, that are second nature. It does surprise me that sighted people say to me, well, how do you cook? Or how do you look after your family? Or, and that's a really surprising question because, well, I just do. And I do it maybe differently to you, but I'm still using my hands and my sense of smell. And, you know, so that's actually leads me to also tell you about my writing, which is all about how do you do X, Y, and Z. And that's on blindness.about.com. And this is where I do share how do you, I don't know, five best ways to be a better sighted guide, or cooking is a sensory affair. How do you cook if you can't see? And so I've been writing on that network for about 6 or 7 months, and it's very much about, you know, if you don't know what to do as a person with vision loss, if you're new, then come over and have a little read of all the different things. It's basically positive living strategies is what I write about. And that's where you'll get most of my stuff.
And as you say, it's always nice to get ideas from other people. Sometimes you don't want to reinvent the wheel. And sometimes you just want to see there's a variety of solutions for any one problem. And you just have to pick the solution that works for yourself.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to reinvent the wheel, and people are basically saying the same thing, but sometimes someone else's words will resonate more with you in the way that they've just put, you know, a couple of paragraphs together that really speak to you. So it's important to read up on all those different tips and strategies.
It sounds like your Vision Quest day was very successful and very rewarding. Is that something you're considering doing maybe next year?
I had considered that we would do it next year or this year, but I think with the amount of time, because it was a prototype project, with the amount of time it took, I would like to do it with some funding or grant, you know, support.
So if somebody somewhere else got motivated to set up a program like Vision Quest, either as a one-off or even as a recurring thing, would you be willing to give them advice as they tried to put it together?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to work in collaboration with them. That would be wonderful. I mean, very happy and open to do that, because to see this happen in other cities would be wonderful. It's like, you know, there's no reason why we can't be exploring this in other places. It's just a matter of knowing some sensory places of interest, mapping it out, and then doing a bit of a marketing call out and getting your communities together, and off you go.
Nice idea.
Yeah, cool.
Great.
So, Maribel, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
My children gave me basically a new pair of eyes. You know, they really gave me a new focus. I really did find purpose in my life again after Mum died. And having my children was just the most beautiful experience. But again, that was the first challenge of being a vision impaired mother. And how I got through that, I think, was, you know, step by step, a failure and then a success and failure. And you learn by what happens. And my children were my best teachers. So I think that really helped me come through.
Well, you know, kids, when they're young, they're very understanding and open and flexible about how to interact with people. We volunteer in the elementary schools. We go in once a month to do science experiments, and it is amazing how open they are about asking me questions and how do you do this, how do you do that, and, you know, there's no judgment or anything, no preconceived notions.
No. Exactly. And for them, it was like they just loved me. It didn't matter if I couldn't see. But I have one thing I'd love to share with you that really keeps me going, or has, you know, it comes from the wisdom of my four-year-old son, who's now 19. But I was reading him a book at bedtime with a magnifying glass, and it was really difficult, but I was trying so hard to read a Mr. Men book. And oh, it was slow, and I put the book down and I just said, oh, Michael, I'm so sorry. Mummy is so slow. And he just jumped out from under his little doona and put his arms around me and said, Mummy, never give up.
Aww.
Just tell me one of your stories.
Oh, how nice.
That's so sweet.
And I just cried. It was like, you know, wow. And so whenever I feel like I want to give up, I remember the words of him as a four-year-old, Mummy, never give up. So there you go.
And sometimes our greatest wisdom comes from our youngest people.
Jelly cheesecake, could I have a slice with my tea? But the jelly cheesecake looked me in the eye and said, "You'll never catch me, I'm too slippery."
That was also not our regular breaker tune. That was Maribel with her partner Harry singing, and Harry was playing the ukulele in another tune where they took a familiar tune and rewrote the lyrics. Now for this week's final item, how to contact Maribel and where to find her writings.
If people wanted to contact you to ask questions or just to connect, how could they do that?
I guess the best way is my website, which is www.maribelstwell.com. And from there, you get to see where my blogs are. The travel one is touchinglandscapes.com. And I also have an older one called Gateway to Blindness. So they're the ones you can go to visionaware.org, and you can go to the blindness.about.com. Which is very tricky to say. But anyway, I think even if you just Google my name, you'll come across something. But I just, you know, love sharing stories and really encourage everyone to be, you know, get into it. If you want to write, if you want to share your creative passions through poetry, writing, cooking, just expression, I really love that, you know, helping people to come from their own sense of expression. And, you know, one by one, we make a difference in the world. And through the vision quest that I learned, you know, we each touch the life of another person. And so, that's what I think, one by one.
Although we neglected to get it in the interview, she did provide an email address if anybody wants to send her a note. maribel@springstudio.com.au.
So if you want to replicate such a program in your area and get in touch with Maribel, of course, the other way you can find out all her contact information and find links to some of the resources that she mentioned, just go to our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. We put those show notes there to make it easier for people listening to this in audio to find the information that can be useful for them in contacting many of the people we interview and finding out about some of the resources that we mention in the show. So we hope you're making use of that and enjoying it.
That's it for show number 1620. Next week, we'll be talking about the evolution of screen readers. We'll talk with Peter Korn, who traces the evolution of screen reader technology from the earliest text-based systems to today's modern graphical interfaces. Peter Korn has been a major contributor to the development of screen readers for many years, including playing a part in many of the systems that you may be familiar with. And he will describe how a screen reader works and what challenges had to be overcome. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.